From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of October, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, will be here to take up the cash grain market. Along the way, I'll ask you to dial this number, 217-244-9455, with a pledge of financial support for willag.org. It is, after all, public radio for the farming world. And we'll hear all about how extension entomologist Mike Gray thanks farmers, especially in the northwestern and northeastern parts of Iowa and Illinois, respectively, need to take special care this fall when they're ordering their seed corn for next spring as it relates to the Western corn rootworm and BT technology. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Well, in Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day higher in the nearby contracts for the soft red winter wheat, up 4 cents at $8.72 and a half. The March at $8.83 and three quarters was up three. In July of next year, a penny and a quarter higher for the harvest month at $8.48 and a quarter. In Chicago, the corn pit, $7.61, a settlement price, actually a closing price for the corn, up a quarter of a cent. The March futures, $7.59, down a quarter, and the May at $7.53 and a quarter, down 3/4 of a cent. July corn, $7.47 and a quarter, up a penny. In September futures, 3.5 cents lower at $6.62 and three quarters. December of next year, $6.33 and a half, down 1 3/4. In the March of 2014, at $6.41 and a quarter, down a penny and a half. November soybeans, 11 cents lower at $15.34 and a half. January at $15.36 and a half, down 9 3/4. And the March beans at $15.08 and a half, 11 and a quarter lower. May futures were down 14 cents at $14.61 and three quarters. July at $14.50 and a quarter cents, down 11. And next year's November, $13.37 and a half, down 15 3/4 in the soybean pit. Bean meal futures down, rather up 60 cents at $4.63.90. Bean oil at $51.58, down 72. Live cattle futures finished up the December at $127.27 and a half, 77 and a half cents lower. And November feeders were down 75 cents at $148.37 and a half. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. Lean hog futures in Chicago at $79.62 and a half cents, were up 77 and a half cents per 100 pounds in the February there, at $85.70, up 37 and a half cents. In the outside markets, crude oil at $90.16 a barrel, $1.94 lower. RBOB gasoline at $2.69 and 8 cents, that's down 4 6/10 of a cent a gallon. Ethanol at $2.43 and 3 cents, up a penny and a tenth, and the difference between the two is now just 26 6/10 of a cent. That's 5 6/10 tighter than it was yesterday. November beans, or rather November natural gas at $3.16 a tenth. That's a penny and 4 cents higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel there at $3.14 and a tenth of a cent, down 4 1/2 cents. And the gold futures on the day, $20.70 at lower at $1,723. Even the U.S. dollar at 79.61. That's up 0.25. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area yet this afternoon. We'll see scattered showers, should be cloudy this afternoon, a high of 50 degrees on a west wind at about 14 to 16 miles an hour, gusting to 23. Tonight, scattered showers before 2 a.m., cloudy, a low of 40 degrees with a wind out of the west at 8 to 13, gusting to 20. Chance of precipitation this evening at 40%. Tomorrow should show us partly sunny skies, a high of 58. A west wind at 8 to 10, gusting to 18, and Saturday evening mostly clear, a low of 41, winds out of the west at 5 to 10. Sunday, sunny skies and 70, Sunday night partly cloudy and 54, Monday a 30% chance of showers and a high of 74, those showers continue into Monday night with a low of 60, Tuesday showers and thunderstorms and 74, Tuesday night showers and thunderstorms and 57, and then finally partly sunny skies on Wednesday, and a high near 76. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us today, Mike Zuzlow of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hey there, Todd.
Hey, Mike. First things first, thank you so much for stepping up and putting together a challenge today. You told us that if 25 people call in on this Friday, anytime today, and say, I support agriculture, your company, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, out of Lafayette, Indiana, will kitty up another $500. We appreciate that a lot.
It's my pleasure. You folks do an immense amount of work, and you're very undervalued in the over-undervalued line of work that I do, Todd.
Does that mean our value goes up and down over time? Because it sounds like it might.
Keep going up, right?
It does. Anyway, if you want to help out, you can always do that. We do depend on you, our listeners, at 217-244-9455. For part of our funding. And if you do now and you call in, you can help us out, because Mike Zuzulo is going to help us out too with an extra $500. And sometimes the money we get sounds not like a lot of money, and sometimes it sounds like an enormous amount. $500 to the station is a lot of money. 217-244-9455. And thank you so much for making that pledge. Okay, Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Let's start out with the cattle on feed numbers. They were released at 2 o'clock Central Time today. What did they show you?
Actually, very interesting today, Todd. On feed, 97%, pretty close to the average. Placements in September, the lowest number for the month of September since records began in 1996, 81%. Very low end of the estimates and 4% lower than the average trade guess. Marketings, similar situation, second lowest marketings number for the month of September since the records began in 1996, coming in at 88%, below the range of trade guesses. This sets us up for, it looks to me, if they're taken at face value, a really big move in the feeder fat spread. The trade may very well want to see buying of feeders and selling of fats when we come back in Monday, because we didn't get the placements that we thought we would get. We didn't get the marketings we thought we would get either. Not great news for the corn market either as far as feed demand going forward.
Yeah, this is one of the first times we've really seen a number that looks like rationing is taking place.
Yeah, and some of the numbers that I've been looking at and hearing from some of the cattle people in the industry is that, you know, feedlots are losing anywhere from $200 to $300 a head, and that seems like an enormous amount, but it starts to make sense when you see numbers like this.
And do we think that the rest of the livestock will follow suit? I think, did we have a hatchery report earlier in the week for the poultry? I think we did. But nonetheless, you might have an idea of what the poultry industry is doing and what hogs have been doing as well.
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of backed off since the last USDA report. The sow numbers for the liquidation pressure for sow seems to be coming on again. Sow slaughter numbers, look to be coming up again. So
mm-hmm.
I think this last report, grain stocks and WASDE reports both, probably have ignited a little bit more pressure in the livestock industry, unfortunately.
Yeah, so they saw the very, very tight pipeline supplies that USDA is suggesting we will have on at hand at the end of the year, and thought, that's awful tight. I bet it gets tighter. Maybe we better constrain a little.
And my own hog clients in particular are starting to tell me that they, after their potential buyers, producers around them that they buy corn from, after these producers saw the report, said to themselves, I might as well just keep the corn. I'm not ready to sell you any corn. The bullish report essentially locked away and sealed and welded the bin shut for the next 60 days. And I think the hog producers and livestock producers as a whole are probably coming to grips with that.
What can we talk about in the corn or the bean market for the day?
Well, the Informa numbers as a whole didn't feed the bull at all. With the good export news from wheat, the good news about Ukraine shutting down their export program after mid-November, so we didn't get the bull fed. The weather bull didn't get fed either by the Informa numbers, and so the market instead resumed its outside market focus. It seemed like a throwback to the early week trade to me. It seemed as though the risk-off button was just pushed right after midday trade started. So gold down at a six-week low, crude down 2%, copper down 3%. The VIX, volatility index, up almost 17% here in late trading. It's one of the bigger moves we've seen in the last several months. And so big numbers in the outside markets pushed the risk-off button again. That bled over into the soy oil, and that transferred into the wheat and the corn as a result of the soy making some new lows on the close.
Anything on the weekly trade when you look at the charts or the dailies that you find of interest?
Wheat had a nice week. Corn had a decent week. I would have liked to have seen Dease corn stay above 765. Beans, a little bit shaky looking to me. I think the Brazilian weather is going to keep us hanging in there pretty good. But I will be very interested to see if the S&P stays above 1421.50. That was the close from last Friday. If that S&P 500 goes below 1421.50 with what the VIX is doing and with the safe haven buying and the bonds back in fashion, I'm a little bit nervous that the beans won't be able to trade the weather right away when we come back next week.
Well, you said that the wheat had a nice week. That looks like a hookup in both the nearby December and the July. And then the soybeans November contract actually had a hookup in it as well for the weeklies.
Yeah, they did. I think the November beans did their job that they needed to do. It would have been a lot nicer to see a 1560-plus close. I think that would have brought in a lot more technically related and black box buying, and that would have, you know, kind of sealed the deal from a standpoint of being able to follow through next week. And I think, generally speaking, that the stronger the technicals are and the stronger the weather is when they both come together, Todd, I think that's where you really get the good-sized volume and momentum buying, and that's really what we're wanting out of this market at this point. Last thing I would say to you is that what we saw this week with the transition from a negative bias to a more favorable bias and wheat coming back from the back burner up to the front burner, I think that finally got and ignited the end users to buy. And I think that's something that's been sorely needed and maybe puts the cash and puts the basis in charge of the market going forward, not talking about the short term, but more the medium term all the way to the end of the year and the first couple months of 2013. I'm hoping that cash market has finally turned the corner and is now the leader to the upside, and we'll just have to play the futures and the outside markets as they come.
We can talk more on Commodity Week.
Sounds great. Have a great one.
Hey, you too. Thanks so much. That's Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He will join us on Commodity Week this week. Our guest will be Tom Doerr, by the way, of the U.S. Grains Council. Also in studio with us, Aaron Curtis and Greg Johnson. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's happening in the world of agriculture. We post it up to our website at willag.org. That's willag.org by about 6 o'clock each and every Central Time, that is, on Friday evenings.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Well, have you dialed in yet this week with your pledge of financial support for the agricultural programming here at WILL? I sure hope so. At willag.org, Illinois Public Media, this is where the program you're listening to now is produced, whether that happens to be on one of our radio stations or you're listening online. And we depend on you, our listeners, to help us develop some of the financial underpinnings. That means we call you up and say, hey, well, at least we call you on the phone and say, hey, can you help us out by sending a few dollars our way? 217-244-9455 is the number you can call if you're listening online and you're looking at our webpage at willag.org. Up on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a red button. Just hit the donate button there. But whatever you do, it's really kind of important that you help us out because, once again, 40% of our budget comes from you. And Dave and Dickie and I really try very, very hard to bring you the kind of marketing and weather information that makes a difference to the farm community, to the agricultural community, to the business side of what you do. And we hope it makes a difference. If it does, again, 217-244-9455 is the number to call. And if you do that today, and we have 25 of you call, the man we just heard on the radio, Mike Zuzulo, will give us another $500. And David Teal, that yes. makes a big difference to us, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got a goal today. We wanted to raise $20,000 in support of public radio here. And the last time I checked, we were a little over halfway. And so, you know, that phone call right now, 244.
Oh, well, we need to get the phones ringing. Well, so yeah. It's time, baby.
So, you know, that $500 would, of course, help quite a bit toward that goal.
Yeah.
So, you know, 217-244-9455 is the number to call. Of course, you can also go to our ag site online and make a contribution that way.
Yeah, the number again is 217-244-9455. This is quick, simple, easy. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. You can just write us a check if you want. Just tell us you're going to pledge. And if you do, and you call that number today, and you don't even have to pledge to do this one, and you give us the code word for our tractor wars, either deer or case, say one of those two. Make sure you say ag when you call in, too. But deer and or case, we'll put you in a drawing for either the 1/16 scale model for the John Deere or the 1/16 scale model for the case. And you can win one of those. So hop in on that one, too. It's fun and exciting, and you'll help us out here at Illinois Public Media.
Yeah, and they're pretty sweet. We saw them in the last week in the conference room, and so, you know, nice models.
If you like tractors, yeah, these are good ones. Hey, mm-hmm. Thanks so much, David.
Thank you.
David Teal here in the studio with us to help us out, make sure that you dial in with your pledge of financial support at 217-244-9455. Please do it right now. Now's the time. This is one of the last days you can pull that off, and we do thank you in advance.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. You can find us online at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L. AG.org up on the right-hand side of the page. As you already know, you can pledge your financial support in just a few moments. We'll hear from extension entomologist Mike Gray. He's concerned that farmers need to take some special care this fall, especially in the northwestern part of Illinois, northeastern part of Indiana, as it concerns their hybrid choices for next season, and BT technology that controls the western corn rootworm. More on that in a moment. A reminder that at willag.org, you'll be able to hear Commodity Week about 6 o'clock Central Time this evening before it ever hits one of our radio stations. We posted to the website.
National
our guest this week, Tom Doerr of the U.S. Day. Grains Council. Our panelists will be Mike Zuzulo and Greg Johnson, along with Aaron Curtis. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look
from
at
the
what
US
happened
to
in
Europe,
the world
left from Philadelphia,
of agriculture.
A cargo of more than 1,300 barrels of crude arrived 7 weeks later.
Farmers
in
have been using BT seed corn hybrids to control western corn rootworms for the better part of a decade. Now, the first version of those products has begun to fail. YieldGuard was introduced by Monsanto in the early 2000s. Some populations of the western corn rootworms in northeastern Iowa and northwestern and west central Illinois have been confirmed resistant to YieldGuard, the first version of this gene. University of Illinois Extension entomologist Mike Gray says farmers in these areas will need to pay special attention this fall to their fields in order to make appropriate hybrid decisions for next season. He says to start by asking these questions.
How long have I been maybe in continuous corn, which we know has been very popular in recent years? What trait did I use? Have I been using that same BT trait for many years? How's it been performing? Have I seen this lodging before? Is it time to switch to another trait? They need to begin asking themselves those kinds of questions. Should I possibly use a non-BT hybrid at some point, along with a soil insecticide? I think those are the questions they need to have with their seed industry representative, making sure they understand fully. Are they in an area where rootworm resistance has been confirmed? Has it been confirmed for the type of BT trait that they've been using? They need to go into 2013 a lot more informed, certainly, than maybe they have been in recent years where they've just assumed automatically, I've got a rootworm BT hybrid out here that's going to take care of this problem.
Here are the specifics on the BT trait that has begun to fail.
The trait is basically the hybrids that express the Cry3BB1 protein. This is a type of protein that first entered the marketplace going back to 2003 on a very limited basis, but certainly by 2004, it was the trait that's been out there for the longest period of time. You know, it's the trade that had been expressed in the yield guard, a lineup of products, you know, marketed by Monsanto primarily.
Do not take Gray's factual statement as an endorsement of any other particular BT trait. The problem with this failure, he says, is that because all BT traits targeting the Western corn rootworm are low-dose events, all are subject to the same type of failure plaguing the Cry3BB1 trait today. Maybe more so, because with that trait out of the picture, greater selection pressure for resistance to other BTs is on the rise. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is a Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to take a look at the cash grain market from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, is Bruce Bostard. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
It's kind of wet and rainy, so I don't know. You're probably doing paperwork there today. Not one of your favorite things, is my guess.
A lot of paperwork happening the last couple of days. You get a rain out at the end of harvest, and it keeps the phones kind of busy. A lot more foot traffic coming in.
Yeah, they come in to settle up. Are they making any new sales?
Some sales going on, a lot of stuff going on DP, kind of a mixed bag out there. Some bean sales, you know, bean yields are coming in maybe a little bit better than we expected, people being pleasantly surprised, so you see a little selling happening.
Anybody asking about next year?
Some, although just the huge inverse makes it... It makes it maybe slightly less attractive, and then psychologically, we always fight the last battle. In the last couple of years, new crop sales that were made early weren't attractive when we got to them. One of those days, that's going to come back and bite us.
Yes, it is. So if they were to want to make sales, and we'll get to your other numbers a bit later, if they were to want to make sales, what are your bids that far out?
608 for new crop 13 corn and 1308 on soybeans.
Doesn't sound like a terribly bad price when we think the midpoint might be 450 and 1050.
I sold, made my first sales a year ago for this crop for the stuff from the family farm a heck of a lot cheaper than these. So,
yeah, and those 450 and 1050, that's the
seemed like a good idea at the time.
It always does, doesn't it? I thought it was a good price. Well, you know, that's the way it is, and that's farming and the vagaries of farming and droughts and the weather, I suppose. When producers are calling you or they're coming in, what are they asking you mostly today?
What do you think? what are prices are going to do, and where are we? It's the same thing that we've discussed. You know, we're getting the rationing job done on corn. It sure looks like you know, weird stuff happening. There's trains of Minnesota corn coming into central Illinois to feed the processors. There's barge loads of corn coming up the Illinois River, getting offloaded to feed the processors. So stuff is moving into Illinois from north and south, something we just haven't seen historically. But beans are getting used up.
Yeah. And your bids for the day are?
We're at 771 on nearby corn and 1526 on the soybeans.
Thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here in the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.
Support for WILL Agricultural Reports comes from Country Financial. Information on federal crop insurance programs for next year is available now from your Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.
It's National Carbonated Beverage with Caffeine Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, the first export shipment of crude oil from the U.S. to Europe left from Philadelphia. A cargo of more than 1,300 barrels of crude arrived 7 weeks later in London. The crew of the Elizabeth Watts was shanghaied because recruiting a crew transporting oil was impossible. In 1883, William Simons died, a German-born English engineer and inventor. He was a pioneer in undersea cable and the steel industry. He developed a regenerative system using waste gases to preheat fuel gases, key in the open heath furnace used to purify steel. In 1918, Charles Richard Van Hise died, a U.S. geologist. He regarded soil conservation as crucial to the well-being of the nation. In his work, The Future of Man in America, he wrote, "We should work with the agents of the earth rather than reverse their work, as we have been doing since American settlement began." And in 1998, Ted Fujita died, a Japanese-American meteorologist. He was known as Mr. Tornado for his research into severe storms. He developed a scale for measuring tornadoes on the basis of their damage, and he was the first to verify downbursts and microbursts and their impact on airplanes. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on the Friday afternoon. Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey is on the phone line with us to take up the weather forecast for the weekend and the week ahead. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, last night, and I haven't talked about this at all, but I happen to be a Cardinal fan, so my daughter and I went down and watched the game last night. It was not too bad. It was a little cool, but we didn't get rained on. Tonight, will they be as lucky as the Cardinals look maybe to clinch this part of the season?
Yeah, you know, it's been quite a year for the Cardinals there. And you know, the forecast for tonight for St. Louis area is they're calling for isolated showers before 7 p.m. and then scattered sprinkles between 7 p.m. and 1 a.m. So be kind of cloudy with a low of 44 and west winds at about 7 to 11 miles per hour. So it could be sprinkles, but you know, I don't think that's going to have much impact on the game.
Yeah, that's about 10 degrees colder than it got last time.
Yeah.
That's going to feel pretty cold on the field and in the stands, I would think. Okay,
yeah.
So let's get back here then closer to home. What can we see for Friday night football in our area?
Okay, well, here we have a 40% chance of showers for the rest of the afternoon and into night. I would say showers is the key word. There's just kind of scattered showers on the radar right now, and I think that's going to stick around through this evening. Low of 40 tonight, so it'll be quite cool as they get into the early morning hours. Then tomorrow, high of 58 and a low of 41 on Saturday night. But then Sunday's going to be nicer, high of 70. So Sunday's going to be nice. Monday's not going to be too bad either, high of 73. And Tuesday, high of 74. So big thing is Monday, Tuesday, and on into Wednesday, there's a chance of rain. For us, it's not the amounts aren't real large, but we'll probably get another quarter of an inch or half an inch or so.
Many times there is a front that divides those who get rainfall and those who don't, and we're concerned about the western part of the United States and the western part of the Corn Belt, Iowa, Nebraska, parts of Minnesota. Have they been seen into the rainfall that we've seen recently here in the eastern central part of Illinois?
You know, I don't think they've gotten the benefit that we've gotten out of some of these rains. I think most of that's been really more our part of the Corn Belt here. So really, especially the High Plains has been exceptionally dry the last several weeks. And they just keep getting drier and drier out there. So they missed most of this rain. Most of this fell in the eastern half of the Corn Belt, and it's raining in Indiana and Ohio right now pretty heavily. So I think they've missed out on it once again.
Thanks so much, Jim.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is at the Illinois State Water Survey and joined us here on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in to our website or one of our radio stations for Commodity Week. That comes up on the WILLAG.org site at about 6 o'clock this evening. Of course, we record at 4:30 our guest, Tom Doerr of the U.S. Grains Council. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.